CliffCentral.com.
It is time for us to get to something much more exciting, and that is Collectomania. So Collectomania brought to you by the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. And we received such great feedback to last week's episode on Pokemon that we decided to do a little follow-up this week. So we're going to speak to Kyle, who is better known as Kahuna Koala on YouTube. And Kyle got in touch with us after seeing Matthew on the episode. Says, I'm a small up-and-coming YouTuber here in South Africa, where all of my content is based on Pokemon cards. I open packs, I do product reviews, I do gameplay, and a whole lot more. And we're going to speak to Kyle this morning. Hey, Kyle, how are you doing, man?
All right, and yourself?
Good.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, sure. Nice to see you, dude. And you obviously saw the episode with Matthew that we had last week. It's the first time I had learned most of that stuff about Pokemon cards, and it seems fascinating. I mean, it sounds like something that you really can get into. And we speak to people. We speak to people every week on Collectomania who are kind of obsessed with these things. Tell us your story.
I've been playing Pokemon since about 1999. Started in school. Everybody had them. Mm-hmm. Wasn't really coming from the wealthiest family, so I was doing things like washing people's cars and stuff to get money to go buy packs on the weekends.
Right.
And I got my first job, I took a hiatus from Pokemon around my teenage years just simply due to money. But when I got my first job, I went straight back into it. And I've pretty much been playing competitively ever since 2012, 2013, right up until now.
That's awesome. It's awesome. So you just tell us quickly, you've been involved with it for like almost two decades now, and you love this. What is the gameplay element of the Pokemon cards? Is it almost like those trump cards that you used to get where you would compare the different kind of, you know, if it was cars, for example, you know, the maximum amount of speed that power that the engine had, the cost of the car, the amount of, I'm not even sure what else was on those cards, like the fuel consumption or whatever else it was. And then you'd argue, and if you had a better one, you'd take the other person's card. Is that how it works?
Firstly, I just love how the previous generation of people always go to those like cards.
Sorry,
like,
that's the airplane all I know.
In the cars.
That's all I know.
No, for sure. But I love it how people jump to that. No, Pokemon's a lot more strategical. I mean, you can compare it to something like chess. You got to always be like three moves ahead, but each person has their own deck of cards, which you potentially spend a heck of a lot of money on.
Right.
And you go against each other at a table, and there's a lot of strategy involved. It's a very strategical game. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the game evolves. New sets come out every 3 months, so the game is continually evolving. So you got to do your research. There's a lot of practice involved. I mean, if I think about it, I do some like coaching on the side for people who are getting into the game. And I just had a coaching session the other day, and I explained to the girl, like, generally speaking, I play before a tournament, I'll play about 1,000 games of the deck.
Wow.
To try and get an idea of how good it is. So it's a big time investment if you're taking it seriously, but it's also a lot of fun. I mean, my daughter plays the game as well. It's the first thing that brought me back into the game, like properly, is that it's a very much a family game. It incorporates children, girls, boys, husbands, wives. I mean, it's very nice to rock up at an event and there's a mother, father, and two kids all playing together.
That's awesome.
So there is a very fun aspect to the game as well. It doesn't have to be as competitive as some of us take it, but it definitely can be very, very competitive.
All right, so you are currently ranked, I mean, I do like it when people are winning, and you are currently ranked third in South Africa in your age division. That's pretty amazing. Yeah. So how does that work? Yeah. Is it all online, and you can see where you fit into the scheme of things and how many games you've won and kind of who you've beaten, and that you go up like in tennis rankings, for example?
So there's events that happen throughout the year, every quarter. I mean, in Cape Town, we're fortunate enough to have a few stores that host these events.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to just put a point in that and say that the events have been suspended since Corona started.
Right.
But it will be hopefully coming back this year. But either way, you would go to these stores, compete in events, and depending on your ranking in that event, you would get something known as championship points.
Okay.
And then your cumulative championship points give you a ranking within South Africa.
And there's big cash money in terms of prize money that's available for the winners. This is what I love too, is that, you know, if you go on things like Twitch and you watch people who play games online, I mean, some of these, the prizes they can win are better than working a 9-to-5 for like 3 or 4 months in a row, you won't earn as much as you do in the prize money for those things. Is it that kind of money? What are we talking about here?
I think in the World Championship specifically, right? You'd have to obviously travel to do it.
Sure.
I think the prize pool for the trading card game is $200,000. I had the stat with me. I think the first place gets, I think it's around $25,000. I think I put it in the
Wow.
email to you guys.
That's a lot
So
of
first
money.
place in my division gets $25,000.
That would be a nice payday.
I would, yeah.
And you spoke about age groups as well, Kyle, and I was wondering how old is the oldest person who plays? Do you know?
Wow. Well, I mean, there's some old, like, even in the local communities. I mean, I think the oldest guy that I know who plays in tournaments is probably in his 50s.
Sure, that's very
He
old.
definitely looks like he's in his 50s. So,
But I mean, old people might be good at this if you think about how good they are at solitaire and at playing like poker or whist or something like that. Then why the hell wouldn't they learn the strategy of this game and be able
Bridge.
to do it?
I mean, like I can definitely say that playing other strategical games like chess helps you improve your Pokemon game. I mean, I play quite a couple of different trading card games, and sometimes things that I've learned from other games translate into Pokemon and has made me a bit of a Pokemon player. So it's definitely, it translates across anything where you need to think a couple of steps ahead. And I mean, for kids, there's the educational aspect. I mean, some of these cards have got some really big words. So there's reading, there's math, there's analytical thinking, there's social skills because you're sitting at tables with other people. I mean, it's really beneficial for kids to get into. I mean, I've seen a number of autistic kids come and play Pokemon, and they, after a couple months, they really start coming out of their shell. You can see that they start adapting and adjusting, and it's rewarding in that sense as well to see those kids like
That's
develop.
amazing.
Well, they've also done huge amounts of research with children in particular to figure out, when you start explaining game theory to them at an early age and they understand what the conditions for victory are, for example, in a game, and they learn and internalize those, they figure out things in life a whole lot better too because they apply game theory to everyday life. So, if you're in, commercial enterprise or whatever, and you have to sell X number of goods in order to make your target, those kids who are more goal-oriented and who've learned game theory earlier on end up being more successful adults. It almost goes without saying. And I think that's probably something quite useful that we dismiss too often. We're like, oh, they're playing games. But actually, games are hugely important. Games are also how people figure out other people because you
And
get
the
to,
fact that rules exist.
well, you get to see what kind of people like to cheat. And you get to see what kind of people follow the rules. And you get to see what kind of people will do anything to win. And it kind of pre it provides you with a useful amount of intel for going into adulthood and working in the real world.
Definitely does.
Yeah, I think that's about right. Okay, so what's in your collection here? So what have you got? There's a poster behind you, and you've got something framed as well. How big is your actual Pokemon card collection?
I can't actually tell you. It's bigger than I can count. I try and catalog constantly. I mean, I've been playing for such a long time, and during COVID, I went through a thing where obviously people were a little bit strapped for cash, so I was buying people's collections out to try and help them out, and I've just been accumulating more and more. For me, it's a little bit of an investment. Some of the investments are short-term investments, like stuff that I can buy and resell immediately. Some stuff is stuff that I go put in. I have a box in my mother's storage unit where I've got a couple of my special ones.
Wow, and those are probably worth some money. I mean, if we just look at what Matthew told us last week about his collection, there's some of those that are quite expensive now. If you tried to sell them online, you could make a pretty penny.
Yeah, I think my most expensive card I own at the moment is just shy of $700.
Wow.
So I think that's edging on like 10K by now. I don't know what the dollar rate is at the moment.
So
But yeah, the yeah, sorry.
would you use that card, that $700 one? Would you use that in a game?
No, that's vintage now.
Oh,
So no, I
okay.
mean, if you're speaking about gameplay, I mean, so I always have a couple of decks. I think my most expensive deck to build at the moment is probably about 6,000, maybe 7,000 rand,
Wow.
depending. So that's like the most expensive. Of course, you can get competitive for a lot less. You could spend like $2,000 on a deck or $1,500 on a deck, and you could do okay still. So it all depends on you as a player. But Joe, you asked me about the frame behind me. I think I did send you a nice picture about it. So this was a dream of mine, like from a kid. So my favorite Pokemon is Blastoise. You can see it's a big canvas behind me over there and filled in the picture. So I put that together. It's basically a whole lot of vintage versions of that card and his pre-evolutions, Water Tall and Squirtle.
Okay.
Very proud of it. I know that you asked Matthew last week a question about what would he grab if his house was on fire. I would be grabbing that frame without a doubt. I think I priced it when I put it together, and the frame's total value inside the frame is probably about 12,000 Rand. But those are cards that I will never, ever trade. I will never sell. That's just sentimental value is way, way too high. I mean, I've got multiple copies of those cards.
Yeah.
But that particular frame I would probably keep forever.
That's amazing.
And then, yeah.
I'm just checking whether Dorian Sampiwa gave me the pictures. They haven't. So I can't see any of the other stuff. But how do you catalog this stuff? You say you try to catalog it.
So I do catalog it. So with Pokemon specifically, there's no registered platform. I mean, there's apps on phones and computers like Pokelector, where you can catalog your collection. If you are that kind of a collector, if you're collecting from now card 1 to card 50, then you can like mark it as you go along. But for me, I keep all of my cards in sets in a spreadsheet, so that if ever it came down to it where it was cash out time, I would know exactly what my cards were worth and what I would be getting out of my collection.
Okay, so you do keep track, even though you have so many that you can't necessarily file them all and have them all on display or any of that stuff.
But I mean, there's cards that I haven't gotten around to keeping track of. I mean, it's considered bulk. So in any of the collecting games, bulk is considered anything that's worth less than a dollar. So if you were ever to sell, you would just like throw that in as like extra gravy.
Like a sweetener.
It's
pretty amazing. We had Matthew, he actually opened up a pack.
I saw that, and I'm well prepared.
Gareth, okay, so well, let's do this, because you do this on your YouTube channel as well. You can go and find Kyle's YouTube channel. Is it under your pseudonym here? So it's under Kahuna Koala. Oh, yes. There we
go. Kahuna Koala. Yeah,
so you can look him up on YouTube, and you can see him doing a whole lot of other stuff. So what do we got there? Do it. Let's do this live.
So this is a firstly, I just want to show. I did keep the cards aside in case you didn't get the pictures. So these are what graded cards look like. I didn't see Matthew bring any of them. So these are graded Blastoises. Like my ring light's messing up. So these are all graded cards. These are in the frame behind me as well.
Okay.
But that's basically what a graded card looks like. So you send it off to the States, they grade it according to its condition. And then of course that affects the price value. There's the picture.
Yeah, nice. Got it.
So yeah. So those are some of my favorite graded cards. And before I open the pack, I just wanted to also mention that some people collect sets from, like I said, 1 to the last card, right?
Mm-hmm.
Other people, like myself, so I'm just like a specialty collector. So I only collect my favorite Pokemon. So there's 3 Pokemon that I collect, and I will uptrade to get those cards just to have them.
Right.
And that's just because they're special to me in that way.
Yeah.
Cool. This booster pack, it's a little bit expensive at the moment, actually. So this is what it is. It's a Evolutions booster pack.
Oh wow.
The set did very well for the nostalgic value because they're basically reprinted cards that look like they were from the base set. I had a look yesterday. These boosters go for about 300 Rand a pack at the moment, where a normal pack goes for about 80 bucks. So yeah, I'll open this pack. And the most expensive card in the set is just over 1,000 Rand. It's a Charizard. And if I pull a Charizard in the pack, then I'll sell it and donate the money to a charity of your choice. So,
all right. Well, yeah, I can cool. I don't even know what that is, but I'll take it. Thank you.
you'll take it for face value.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I mean, Carl even says here, can next week's Collectomania please be in English? What the hell is this guy even talking about? if you're not into Pokemon, yeah, you'll be feeling a little bit like me some of the way through this conversation. All right. So let's do this.
Cool. Let's see. Hopefully, I know like my camera does a little bit of focusing issues, but that's not worth anything. It's a potion.
Okay.
It's a maintenance. Hopefully. Okay. Poliwhirl.
That's also not Onyx. Worth anything.
No, that's a fairy energy.
Yeah.
Voltorb. Tangler, I think we're going to get to a potential expensive section now after this one. Poliwag.
Okay.
It is. Okay, Foil Fire Energy, that's not too expensive. And the last card is?
Dun,
oh my word, it's a Foil Charizard.
So now you have to donate money.
What is the chances of that?
Right.
So this, I'll tell you exactly what this card is worth at the moment. I'm just going to need a phone.
So that's believe this was... So we've hit the jackpot here. This is good, right?
Carl, you're in a bit of a pickle now because what if this card's worth $4,500?
No, it's not. Look, I just want to tell you, you'll see over here, there's an open stand here on my shelf. This booster's been sitting on my shelf for months, just a part of my display.
Yeah.
And that's what was in it. Like, this couldn't have been like a better storyline.
That's fantastic. All right. So what do you think it's worth?
Charizard currently at the moment is sitting on, it's about 1,100 Rand.
Beautiful.
That is gorgeous. Look at it. I can't believe I pulled this on your channel, man.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. I think I can get into this where you donate money to worthy causes every time we have you on. I like this.
As always, you put it in a.
And now every time you look behind you, the pain of, oh my God, I promised to give it to a charity before I actually opened the pack.
No.
This is awesome.
That's all fair game. Look, I'm very much paying it forward. I've been very fortunate in my channel. Had a lot of help from people and sponsors and all that nonsense. So this it's only paying it forward. I'm still a bit in shock here, actually. I can't believe it.
So leaving Pokemon aside for a moment, you also collect Magic the Gathering. Now, what is that? Because, again, this is territory I'm completely and hopelessly unfamiliar with.
Okay, Magic the Gathering is a bit older than Pokemon. So Pokemon came out in 1996, Magic the Gathering 1993. So it's a bit of an older game, a bit of a more mature game. Not so much. Pokemon is the only card game that accommodates for age groups, right? So kids, teenagers, adults. Magic is just open form. So 1993 it came out. There is some serious, serious investment value in Magic. Not just from a playing perspective, but from a collecting perspective. In South Africa, Magic is more of a playing game, but I can tell you that I buy and sell collections like I do with Pokemon.
Right.
I've been making, as of the last 2 years, I've been making a lot more money with Magic. In fact, like almost a second salary every month. Like that's the amount of money we're speaking about. It's a bit hectic.
Wow.
I looked up some stuff here. So the most expensive raw Magic card at the moment is Alpha Black Lotus. So Alpha is the first set ever printed in 1993.
Mm-hmm.
The token card from that set is worth $35,000. If that card is graded, there was an auction last year. A graded autographed version of that card went for $511,000.
My gosh. But even just the 32,000 or something that you said, 35,000, that's still over ½ a million Rand for that card.
Yeah.
Now,
it's crazy.
Don't tell me.
I mean, like,
we can sit here and ridicule, for all we like, people who collect stuff. But let me tell you, if you can invest in something for a couple of Rand and it ends up being worth $35,000, you have done some pretty impressive mathematics and magic there yourself. You've turned a small amount of money into a very large amount of money with some object that's in a collection. I think this is why collectors love what they do so much, not just because they love, gathering a whole set of something or having one of each of something that they love. I mean, you described that very well with the Pokemon cards just now. But the fact is also, that it's worthwhile because other people are willing to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
I mean, look, the chance of you ever finding a card like that is like, I don't even know what analogy to use for that. It's like insane.
So you said $500,000 if you get that graded one, right?
Yeah. So autographed, graded, PSA 10. So that's gem mint, 511
grand. If you sold that, you would be, you could cash out something like 7.5 million Rand on one card.
Jeez.
Okay.
That's unreal.
Don't talk to me about Bitcoin and, Ethereum, especially not this week, because that is seriously impressive. For a card, 7.5 million Rand. Jeez.
Unreal. No, I mean, like, this so, is a, it's this, the, like, the buying and selling of these cards have only done wonders. I mean, another topic that you brought up with Matthew is, like, I think somebody said that you can't have a girlfriend, like, if you're in this game, right? Somebody said that.
Yeah, it was me.
So, yes, it was you. And my, no. my girlfriend now doesn't say a word. She supports everything that I do because of, like, what it's brought. Like, I mean, we had a baby last year. Like, before the baby arrived, sold a couple cards, bought a new dishwasher, bought a new tumble dryer, bought a new washing machine. Oh, like, man. Just some, like quick, like, turnaround. I mean, awesome. It's nice for, like, other people, like my family that doesn't know really what it brings to the table. Mm. When they see it physically, like yeah. they just see cardboard in a shoebox, and then the next minute they see I've got like a new car. Like it's.
You know what, Kyle? Congrats on the birth of your kid. And
thank you.
I mean, it's going to be something. This is kind of a legacy. You could pass on some of this stuff to your child. I mean, that's amazing.
Why my older daughter plays with me. I want, like, I'm imparting the knowledge on her. If she yeah. doesn't take, if it doesn't take off with her, so be it. But at least one day, inevitably, when I die, it will go to somebody who knows a little bit about it and not just somebody mm. who's oblivious and will get ripped off the moment I'm gone. So mm. it's just nice yeah. for somebody to know a little bit about it.
That's amazing.
Use them as sure. As bedding in their hamster cage.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I've seen some wild stuff, like some of the collections I've bought. Like, I've been heartbroken. I wish I had those here. Like, expensive cards like these where people have, like, put sellotape around it to protect it, and at that point the cards was nothing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Laminating cards that have been torn, but then when I get the collection, they've, like, perfectly sellotaped it back together again. Ugh, so man. That they can, like, it's like, it's wild, like, it's heartbreaking. Like, you see very expensive cards that are now essentially worth nothing.
Dude.
So, Kyle, anywhere that's competitive, the human element becomes interesting. Is as you get to your sort of level, is there, like, a bit of needle at the top? You know what I mean? Like Manchester United, Liverpool, everyone knows that, you know, Kyle and Michelle don't get along, and there's, like, a tribe behind the other person. Let's get into that, because that's what everybody wants
okay,
to know about.
Okay. Yeah, it does get clicky at the top. You are right.
I'm sure.
We've got our training teams. I mean, like, Akil, Curtis, Matthew, if you guys are watching, you know who the best are. But, yeah, it's we obviously train in teams to try and get ahead. I mean, you can't – there's no – that's what I realized is my game went from, like, year to year the moment I started realizing you got to practice with other people. You can't just practice by yourself. There are some people who have been very successful by themselves, but, I mean, obviously training. And then, of course, there is a little bit of hate between stores, even between provinces. Mm-hmm. So – Every quarter with the national distributor, I host an online tournament, which is absolutely free, and there's a whole bunch of prizes that are won. And it always turns out to be like a province feud. You know, like,
oh,
like
really?
What gets, like, dropped every tournament, like, yeah, a Cape Town player hasn't won yet. So what does that say about Cape Town players? I'm like, it's oh, only man. Because I'm not playing and that I'm hosting the event that Cape Town hasn't won, right? So, I mean, it's all fair game. But, yeah, it does get very cool. I mean, the competitive edge is amazing. And sometimes things escalate in tournaments as well. Like, I am surprised constantly at the level of drama with a kid's card game is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Like, I just, like, sometimes I have to step back and just say, like, you guys do know that this is a kids card game, right? Why are we fighting like this?
It's amazing.
Just calm down, you know.
So Mpihleng says this has got to be the first collector who has me wanting to jump on the collector train. So you've got through to Mpihleng there. But you know what, this is cool. I love the fact that, you know, there are still going to be people who think you're insane to be spending money and time on this, and they're going to be people now. Yeah, of course all collectors are, but they're going to be people who suddenly go, oh my god, I got to get in on this action, this is fun. I love it.
It's the best thing to do, man.
Kyle, we're gonna subscribe to your YouTube channel. That's Kahuna Koala. And thanks very much for sharing your collection with us, dude. Very good to have you
awesome
on.
Awesome stuff. I'll be in touch with you guys about the donation. Do you have a charity in choice?
I've got one called Headway that I've supported. We actually brought them up on the show this morning earlier, so I'd love you to do it for them. But 100%. We can discuss on email. Cool.
Yeah. pop me a mail. Lacka,
thank you
guys.
So much, dude. Appreciate
thanks for the opportunity.
And thanks for
keep
that.
Well.
Thanks for that donation too. Very nice of you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. There he is. That's Kyle and his collection of Pokemon cards, which is, I mean, part two. Who knew? We would do a part two on this. That's how fascinating these collections
are.
Yeah,
of all the collections we've had, who knew it would be this that was part two?
Amazing, right? I mean, just so cool. Yeah. Lots of people complimenting Kyle. Robert saying, great interview. Yeah, listen, interesting people. I love collectors because I'm one myself, so I see it in other people. I'm like, okay, there's a little bit of that insanity that's going on. But we will have more of these on Collectomania as we advance into the year 2022. If you have a collection, or if you have something that you, you're thinking about collecting, something unusual, maybe you just found, you know, in a box of old stuff, a collection of stuff, you want to tell us about it, particularly if it's weird and it's something we haven't covered before, because I'd love to hear about some of those. Maybe you inherited something and you're not even sure what it's worth. You know, maybe we can help you by putting you in touch with the people who can evaluate these things and tell you what it's actually worth, because you could turn it into, you know, shavings at the bottom of the hamster cage, and you might be throwing away lots and lots of money, as Leanne said earlier. And if you want to get hold of us, just contact@cliffcentral.com. That's contact@cliffcentral.com. And we can feature you on the show. Collectomania is brought to you by the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. You can check them out online at scoinshop.com.
Cliffcentral.com.